Hi, guys. What's going on, Aftermath? There's Kenton. Welcome, everybody. Share the space. We got a good one today. We got VoltiSig. Absolutely banger wallet. Changing the game. You guys know how it is. All right, let's get this party on the road. For those who don't know who are listening to the recording of this space, what is Thorchain? Thorchain is the first DEX to swap real Bitcoin. You can use every Bitcoin wallet in the world and don't have to connect it to a website. Same with Ethereum, XRP, BNB, Tron, Doge, and many more. Eventually, you'll be able to swap from any token from any wallet. Thorchain is basically turning into the full layer one where apps can build on top of it. And the new app layer unlocks lending, perps, Bitcoin-backed stablecoins, token launchpad, NFTs, prediction markets, and much more. Thorchain isn't just a DEX. It is becoming the protocol of pure, uncensorable liquidity. Banger, baby. That's why we do it here. Swapping on Thorchain is permissionless. There is no KYC, and anyone in the world can use it. And it's also really easy. To swap on Thorchain, go to Thorchain.org, click on swap. New features and functionalities will be added to the site over the next few months. Very easy. And there is also an email on there. It is a beta site. So if you encounter any problems or you have any suggestions or friction points, please put in that email some suggestions. The devs would love to look at that. Thorchain's token is called Rune. That is spelled R-U-N-E. You don't need to buy or hold Rune to place a swap on Thorchain, but those fees from your swap are deducted and are used to buy Rune, and this is the Rune that goes to liquidity pools and nodes. There are zero block rewards on Thorchain. 100% of the yield is real. Thorchain is also deflationary with 5% of the revenue is burned. We're 1.2 million Rune burned. Actually over that. It's awesome. If you hold Rune on a centralized exchange, you need to withdraw it into self-custody because those tokens can be used to short sell Rune and drive the price down, right? And once in self-custody, you should look into bonding your Rune to a node to earn some yield. A really good interface, guys, is runebond.com. Super easy. All you have to do is pick a node, request a whitelist, and then you can bond your Rune. On the X profile, there is a nice introduction video to do that. Thorchain has another token called TCY. This token is like a preferred stock where 10% of the protocol's revenue goes to these token holders. If you deposited crypto into Savers or took a loan out on Thorchain, make sure to claim your TCY token so you can start collecting this yield. And anyone can buy this TCY token as well on the Thorchain.org swap interface. There's a Thorchain community Discord and Telegram. You can learn all about Thorchain, make lots of friends. To go find these links, go to @Thor community account on X. This space is geared towards anyone in your Thorchain journey. Excuse me. If you are a veteran or brand spanking new, there will be someone here. And speaking of which, we have got an awesome wallet we're going to be talking to today, VoltiSig. Absolutely legendary thing. But that being said, my name is Denny. My other account's Patriot Sounds. I've been a content creator and educator of Thorchain going on 5 years now. I'm going to go ahead and kick it to Kenton. Good morning, Kenton. How you doing?
Morning, Patriot. I'm good. Thanks, man. How was your Thanksgiving?
Very, very good. Man, I was a complete degenerate. Actually, it wasn't my fault. I ate a lot of food and I was very full. And then a family member came out and they said, "You want some apple pie?" I said, "Yeah, okay. You know, it's Thanksgiving. You got to power through." There's these big pies you can get at Sam's Club or Costco. I don't know if you've seen them. They're huge, right? This idiot cut it into sixths. 1/6 slabs, bro. He brought me out this fat, gargantuan slab of apple pie just smothered in whipped cream. And because I'm fat and pathetic, I ate the whole thing. Dude, I was like having like third trimester labored breathing problems, man. It was bad. So I had a good Thanksgiving, but I did a lot of self-abuse. And I'm ashamed of myself, to be honest with you.
Good.
But, yeah.
Good. Nice. Good. Well, you gorged. You nice. I hope you're wearing your fat pants.
I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, good. Yeah, I'm seeing all the drama on Twitter and replies and people freaking out about the DEX aggregator Unstoppable. So I have to apologize, guys. I'm getting some things mixed up myself. So the plan was always for the swap interface and the aggregator to be open source. And the aggregator is not open source right now. It's sitting on the Unstoppable servers. And they told me it's because they're worried about maybe security risk or something. But if we want to push it to open source right now, we can. Or at least we're going to talk about it next week. And so it's just... Yeah, sorry guys. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a developer, right? So I don't know what, you know, kind of like standard protocol, how this all goes. And what I'm being told is we're just doing it piece by piece, moving things forward, you know, like the front end, right? It's just not, once we get something done, then we put it live and we just keep fixing and changing things as we go. But I have somebody else, I don't know, someone's in my messaging me about maybe we should keep the aggregator closed source and just have the treasury own it. Might be more advantageous for ThorChain. We'll see. I don't know. This is part of, you know, building in public and, you know, kind of doing things on the fly. So the initial plan was always to do this all open source. But it might be beneficial for ThorChain to keep the aggregator closed source for the time being. If so, then I'm totally just thinking out loud, guys. If so, then it'd be owned by the treasury. So I don't know. We got to talk. We got to sort this out. But the original plan and the original intention was always to make it open source. And the idea for anybody to copy it, fork it, go do what you want with it, you know, try and increase decentralization, right? And encourage others to use it, especially the front end, you know, the swap interface. Like we want to make it so that somebody could like have a widget in their website and just like, you know, have the ThorChain swap interface pop up. So for example, like CoinGecko, you know, if they wanted to add a swap interface, they could just plug in some HTML code and boom, done. They got ours there, right? Or if somebody, you know, an influencer, whatever, when you guys want to create your own URL, your own web address, you know, you fork it, put on your own logo, and you add in your own affiliate fee on top of the ThorChain fees. It just would exist already right now at the other front ends, but basically try to make it so that it's as easy as possible for new front ends to be created, right? So we can get max distribution. That's always been the big plan, the big picture goal. So I apologize for creating confusion, you guys. I made a mistake. I was wrong.
Yeah. And like you said, you're not a developer. So, and guys, here's the thing though, Kenton is totally open to talking to anybody. So, you know, this is obviously in public, right? So everyone can contribute and ask questions and double check and, you know, verify all that good stuff. But, that's how we do it. We have spaces, multiple spaces a week. So hopefully, you know, we keep talking and everyone understands and we get consensus because, I'm like you, Kenton, I'm not a developer. So the security concerns, these are beyond our competence as individuals in our previous careers, right? And so you have to kind of lean on others. That's just the way it is. But with that being said, Kenton, should we move on to Boltysig or do you have some more?
No, to just finish, it's like, it always, you know, nobody likes criticism, but it honestly, it is good. It's like, you know, you just put things out there, then the internet will definitely tell you when you're wrong. So you get that instant feedback. And so that's good. I think that's good.
Yes, it is. It is good. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's good. But yeah, let's not, I don't want to talk about that or dwell on that. You know, this time is for Boltysig and, you know, we should focus on them, talk to them. So especially guys in the audience, if you could come up and have questions, you want to talk, let's keep the questions and topic around Boltysig.
And I do have a lot of questions from the community, banked. So a lot of people have questions for Boltysig. It's a really awesome tech.
Should we put it off to Boltysig? Who's speaking for them. If you want to say hi, introduce yourself, give a quick intro on Boltysig in case somebody's new to it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Kenton and Patriot. Awesome to be here again. I'm Pau. I'm the project manager, and maybe you guys can hear it. I was sick the last day, so my voice sucks a bit. So I excuse that one, but happy to be here. Happy to talk everything about Boltysig. And Kenton, honestly, I really feel you when it comes to, like, you know, building in public and getting direct feedback, because I mean, that's like the main ethos of us at Boltysig, right? Everything we do is open source. Everything we do, you can directly see in our Discord and our GitHub and whatever. And if I fuck up, if a dev fucks up or whatever, right, it's directly always coming back to me with destruction bell, or how you call it in English. But So it's definitely something to learn, but I think that's like the good or the best approach, right? That's how we as a pro or as projects can grow the best, the most efficient way. And I think most aligned with the community, right? Because we are open to feedback always. Like, and yeah, I think that's really a good way to go. But as a, on the receiving end, I would say sometimes it's also quite a learning curve, but yeah, happy to talk everything about VoltiSig today. I don't know if you guys had a like exact structure, how we wanted to do it. If, yeah, I'm more than happy to get more and more questions today, but I'm also happy to give like a quick yeah, overview where we're at and then go from there, but happy to get more input from you guys.
I think it's good. Just give us a, you know, a quick, you know, 5 minutes, summary, on VoltiSig, like what it is, why people should care, just in case somebody is listening who has never heard of VoltiSig before or isn't familiar with it. I know most people here probably are, but, just a quick 5 minutes, bring us up to speed, what VoltiSig is, why it matters, why people should use it. And then we can get into what you're working on.
Yeah, for sure. So essentially what we're doing at VoltiSig is, I would say, reimagine self-custodial security and how you store your digital assets, right? Because the one thing which is really, I would say, unique about VoltiSig is that we abstracted seed phrases and built in a multi, like a native multi-factor authentication, what we all know from our bank accounts, from Google accounts, from whatever, right? But for some kind of reason, the general wallets these days are still relying on like a single point of failure, like seed phrases, like pass keys, or like these kind of things, right? And it's kind of weird to think that we manage like thousands or millions of dollars of digital assets, and like with one bad click, with one bad file download or like anything like that, you directly get like hacked, right? And lose access to your assets essentially. So we, like at VoltiSig, we're leveraging MPC technology. We're actually using one of the fastest and most state-of-the-art MPC protocols called DKLS-23. We have like a partner we're working closely with, and they are like creating the protocol itself because it's quite a extensive, I would say, cryptographic task to build these protocols, especially to be sound. So we are leveraging their implementation of the DKLS-23, and the protocol itself is also used by bigger banks, like for example Visa is using it in some kind of way, and other banks in general, but they don't use it as on like a, let's say, cryptocurrency level, but more on like a general cryptographic level, right, for security. But what essentially is MPC is doing is removing the single point of failure, where you get like multiple devices to sign a transaction, right? So like it's this multi-factor authentication where you now can create a wallet with multiple devices. Let's say like one of your iPhones, one of your Android, one, like maybe let it be your iPad, or maybe it can even be another person, right? So VoltiSig is the multi-sig of the future, I would say, because it's super dynamic, super fast, and very secure, because you don't need to manage multiple seed phrases for multiple chains, right? So essentially you just have one backup share for one device for all the different chains what we are supporting. And currently we're up over 33 chains now. The latest one was Hyper EVM, what we added on all the different platforms. So I think that's also quite interesting, especially with the hype around hype, I would say, or especially this cycle around our perps and all of that. So yeah, we're getting like bigger and more chain supports, and also deeper chain support, right? So that's why we also recently added our DeFi tab, which finally, like I'm also a big ThoughtChain, right? Like I'm in the ThoughtChain community since 2021, right before Mainnet launched. And finally, with the DeFi tab, you know, we can easily bond our rune. You can see like the position, you can stake TCY directly from the app, you can stake your Ruji, you can get your auto-compounded ThoughtChain assets, I would say. So we're really like coming from ThoughtChain ecosystem, right? So we have Fortune by heart, and that's why we also, for example, just as a side note, we always are a bit biased on our swap routes. So we always prefer ThoughtChain and Maya protocol, of course, because both of them are, you know, I think, in my point of view, crucial for our future of like digital finance, because I think they're probably the only two protocols which are really censorship resistant when it comes to swapping. And I think that's really what we should strive on, right? To be as most decentralized and as censorship resistant as possible, right? And yeah, that's essentially what we're currently doing, trying to not be the everyone app, I would say, but the most secure and most versatile wallet app there is. And of course, with the MPC technology, we have the possibility to support essentially all different chains, because we can support all the different signing algorithms of all chains. So that it gives you the one-stop shop for your multisig for all different chains. But yeah, we're step by step adding more and more chains, more and more functionality. And especially the last few months, we really were focusing on stability and improvement of signing, of fetching of rates, fetching of dates and like all different inputs. So yeah, that's, I would say, is a quick overview of what multisig is, but happy to get questions and anything I missed. And then of course one big factor I before I hand it back, or one big feature which is rolling out pretty soon, is our app store, which essentially utilize or gives the option for everyone to finally enable self-custodial automation, which was not possible so far, right? Because with seed phrases and the unilateral access to those, you as a user needed to push a transaction right before something can happen, and therefore automation was always quite difficult to achieve. And with our approach with the MPC technology, we finally can have a secure self-custodial automation without handing over the complete access to all of your funds. And you can always, you know, just grant partial access to different assets, I would say, in your vault. But I can iterate about that a little bit later. Back to you guys.
That was great. Thank you. So maybe you want to add something. You said... I think you said the wallet of the future. I maybe kind of want to just kind of add that, or help people understand like that your technology is already in the now. Like it's this all institutional custodians are using, right? Like Fireblocks, Copper, and Bitco, I assume Coinbase, they're all using some form of MPC, right? So you guys are bringing it. You're bringing it to everybody, the whole world. You're making it accessible for anybody in the world, not just the big guys to use.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I mean the MPC technology, I would say, is now ThoughtChain was one of the first projects, I think, who really utilized it in the wild, I would say. But specifically on self-custody, there are other MPC solutions currently, but they are mainly reserved to institutional players, because the MPC technology itself is not that easy to maintain and to give access to, and that's why normally it's hidden behind let's say a paywall, right? Like you need to have at least X amount of funds under management, or you need X amount of monthly fees, or it's a subscription. So essentially MPC technology and like the real security what it gives is sealed off to most of the users at the moment. I mean, there are more and more integrations happening with wallet solutions where it's then web or let's say put into place with passkeys and all of that, but essentially a full self-custodial, flexible solution is not available on the market, or at least apart from multisig, right? So that's what we really wanted to achieve, is make Web3 accessible and safe for everyone, and give it for to everyone for free, right? The only thing, like, the app and our apps are for free. The only thing which where we are charging fees on is on the cross-chain swaps, where of course 4chain is our main provider, and of course with our token and all of that. So if you hold our token, you can then also get fee reduction, and then I would say we're quite really competitive with these different discount fee, tiers. But yeah, essentially that's really what we are building, right? MPC wallet accessible for everyone.
Amazing. That's great. So can, and forgive me if you already said this, am I able, if I've got a seed phrase, existing seed phrase, 12 or 24 words, can I import that into a VaultySig wallet? And if not, yeah, when would I be able to do that?
Yeah, so at the moment, it's not yet possible, but it's actually something we're actively currently implementing. So I hope we're getting it into the apps in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I would say, like as a rough ballpark. But yeah, it was a little bit tricky because we first needed to develop the technical implementation with our partners. And now as they're finished, we can finally put it into our app and make it possible that everyone can put in their 12, 24 words and migrate, let's say, from a seed phrase, seed phrase time to a seedless time in the future. But of course, you always need to mention that the seed phrase will always exist, right? So cryptographically, it's impossible to delete a seed phrase. So we're just giving the option to increase the general security on the daily usage, on the possibility to managing multiple chains with one vault without many different seed phrases in a multi-sig setup. But essentially, the imported seed phrase can't be deleted. So that's always like as a side note there. But essentially, yeah, the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will have the possibility to import seed phrases into VaultySig.
So is it fair to say that if you want to get the best out of VaultySig, to really take advantage of the security of VaultySig, you shouldn't import your seed phrase. You should start a new VaultySig wallet and like new addresses and transfer everything over from your old seed phrase. Because as long as that old seed phrase exists and is sitting around, that there's a potential that somebody, you know, it can get compromised. So you're better off starting with a clean new wallet in VaultySig. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, that's correct. Essentially, what we want to achieve with the seed phrase import is, you know, first making it easy for the users to migrate over, because, you know, then you can import a multi-chain seed phrase, and because we are supporting all the different chains already, you can just, you know, then do cross transfers in VaultySig itself and don't need to use multiple apps. And secondly, with the App Store coming, right, you may be having a seed phrase wallet where there are either, you know, have assets staked, bonded, rune, or like in any kind of way, utilized on a DeFi network or DeFi protocol, and you can't, you know, move it currently. So then you have the possibility to import it and access it from your VaultySig vault. And with the App Store coming, right, there will be quite some nice and interesting apps in the future where maybe, you know, we're already had some third-party developers mentioning that they maybe will develop an airdrop hunting, you know, plugin, for example. And then, of course, it doesn't make sense to have a new VaultySig vault and expect any kind of airdrop or go airdrop hunting for any forgotten airdrops. So that's where then the seed phrase import comes handy, right? Where you can import your, wallet you're using since 5 or 10 years, import in VaultySig, install the airdrop hunting plugin, and then off it goes and checking all the different chains on where you maybe have forgotten some kind of airdrop or something.
Nice. What about a plugin to like kind of remove, can, you know, when you get all those scam tokens, you know, you get all that spam, sent to an address. Is there a way to remove those from your, would there be a way to remove those somehow, an app for that?
Like we currently have the approach of, you know, I think it's always best to not interact with scam tokens at all. And like the apps you will be installing always still will interact on a smart contract level with those tokens, right? So the best is always to just ignore these tokens and never use them and never see them. So that's why we as like in Voltisig have a, let's say, a little more conservative approach with auto discovering and listing tokens itself. So what we are doing normally is, you know, just taking the official lists from, let's say, CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko, and all of those, and use those lists and compare it to what the users are holding in the wallets, and then display the different or auto discover the different tokens, right? And if a user wants to add another token or some token is not auto discovered, they can edit manually, right? So we rather are going down the route to list only the secure tokens where we are sure that there are no scams, and then the users can add the rest manually. Then with that, you know, you never get like any weird tokens directly auto discovered in your Voltisig vault.
Nice. Maybe Patriot, I'll let you jump in because I know you've only got half an hour, so I know you have a bunch of questions.
Yeah. And thank you, man, for saying what you did at the very beginning about the problems of building in public, right? And that was well said. And it's all about how you handle criticism, how you respond to information, because that's all criticism is. It's how you respond and how you handle it. And I think you're doing a great job, Kenton. Hard to find someone more fair, honest, and open and transparent as yourself. But on to the questions here. I do have a few. And I don't know if this person's a native English speaker, so apologize if the question may be a little cookie cutter, if that makes sense. Okay, my first question for you is, since the marketplace will be out soon, how many developers or teams are you actively working with or seeing build plugins right now? Any standout ones in the pipeline beyond the DCA example, which is built by the team?
Yeah, great question. So essentially, we currently have a few, let's say, apps in-house. But of course, like the main goal is from like for us as Voltisig, not building the plugins, but just providing the infrastructure. And then we have, you know, a thriving ecosystem of a lot of third-party devs. And currently, we have around, I would say, 5 to 7 developers we're more in contact with to building different apps and plugins. I don't want to like spoil too much for the moment, but they will come step by step because, of course, the App Store and our infrastructure and how the App Store works is quite unique. So we are working with all of them like closely and just onboarding them step by step. So it will be a progressive increase in apps, I would say, in the App Store. So we will first start with our core apps, which are like the DCA plugin, or we're calling it recurring swaps and also recurring sends, which both of those are essentially a DCA plugin and a scheduling app, let's say, where you can schedule a transaction, which are super handy for payrolls or for teams paying different members. But apart from that, I would say one like integration I'm personally super, super hyped about and is the guys from CFGI. Probably some of the people here know them. They have a really nice fear and greed indicator and an agent that's trading upon these indications. And we're working with them to be one of the first apps, third-party apps to be in the App Store. And then apart from that, we have a few more in the pipeline. That's, I would say, one of the outside apps I'm very, very stoked about.
Very, very cool. And because we talked about the DCA part of my question, I've got another question here. They want to know, when are they doing the Volt buybacks, and when is the DCA plugin going live?
Yeah, cool. Good question. The buybacks generally... we released, I think, around about like 1 week now, our complete updated tokenomics, and we decided that it's best, you know, with all the fees Voltisig is generating, that's also something, right? we as Multisig team, we don't get any fees or anything. Everything goes back to the Vult token itself. And these fees over the last year, I think we now accumulated around $420,000 in fees. And with those, we will now always scheduled start buybacks. And these buybacks will be starting quite soon. I don't want to like spoil it now, but essentially what the timeline on it is, we are polishing out the App Store itself and the DCA app, which should be finished over the next 3 to 5 days. And then afterwards, we will soon afterwards start the buybacks. And of course, with these buybacks, we will be demonstrating the DCA app. And with that, also more or less soft launch the App Store, and everyone can have access to the App Store, install the DCA app, the let's say payroll or the recurring send app. And that's essentially the timeline on it. But direct or exact dates, I still don't want to give here, because we want to make sure that the experience of the App Store is super nice, super intuitive. So because, you know, we, as we know, it's like the App Store and it's more or less like a contained environment. We want to have it really Web 2, where it's just one click install, easy to set rules and easy to understand. So we're really polishing out that one currently, but the functionality is there. And maybe some of like the, let's say, I see a few Vulti squads here in the space. So maybe some of those were looking at the Vult chart and already saw a few DCA tests going through in small amounts, of course. But so technically we are there already, but we just want to polish out the App Store and the app experience.
Perfect, man. Thank you. I have three more questions here. I don't think this person's a native English speaker, so I'll try and make it make sense. I saw a suggestion floating around Discord for he says snipping bot, but I wonder if he means sniping bot plugin. Something for quick transaction snips or monitoring in the vault. Are devs/non-team devs already tinkering with it?
I mean, we're at Multisig. I assume he's talking about like sniping bots.
Yeah, that's what I think so too. Sniping, not snipping.
Yeah. But we're Multisig. We're currently not considering building a sniping bot, but it's technically definitely possible. So I would invite everyone here, because the Multisig App Store will be open source and will be open for everyone to come on and build its own app, and of course also monetize it, because 70% of all the fees of an app will go to the app developer and 30% of the rest will go to the Vult token itself. But essentially it's possible. So, and I already heard a few rumors that a few people are considering building it. So definitely it's possible. And then essentially, it will be just like, who will be the fastest, who will be create the best one. The app or the sniping bot, which the people then like, right. But essentially it's technically possible, but we are at Multisig. We won't build one ourselves. What we're building or also will have is, a copy trading app where, you can just put in what kind of address you want to track, and it automatically mirrors those trades or those swaps.
Perfect. Perfect. And if you guys ever want your question asked to a specific team, you can always DM me the question, and try your best. My DMs are a little crazy, but do your best to get my attention. And I promise I'll do my absolute best to have everyone's questions answered. But anyway, on to the next question. What is the roadmap on the Vulti signer with transaction policies that will have proper whitelists and limits, in quotation marks, addresses, tokens, contracts, max amounts to be implemented?
Great question. Yeah, that's something we, I think, have on our roadmap quite a while since we introduced the fast vaults. Because essentially fast vaults, maybe quick side note, as maybe some of the listeners here don't know it, fast vaults are the option for everyone to use Multisig with just one device. So essentially, Multisig is always multi-device usage, but with those fast vaults, you can just use one device from your end, and the second device is our server, which co-signs automatically any transactions you want to do. But that also has the side note or the side effect, right, that the security is a bit reduced, I would say, for the performance and the speed you get with it. So I personally I'm always using like a fast vault on for my day by day, like, you know, kind of trading what I'm doing or when I'm out and paying for some stuff with crypto. And I have my secure vaults with like multi-device approval for, let's say, my cold wallet replacement. But those to increase those the security of those fast vaults, we thought about Vulti servers having policies where you then can whitelist specific addresses, specific thresholds, and all of that. And those are still a bit far out, I would say, on the roadmap, just because we're currently mainly focusing on our core app stability and feature improvements. And the rest of the team is really busy down building the app store itself, because we're seeing much more potential currently in the app store. So I would say we probably will get it sometime in 2026, but I don't want to give like any exact dates for the moment.
Totally makes sense. Thank you. And I have one last question here, and I'm going to do my best to say this correctly. It's a slightly verbose, okay? So apologies if I'm a little off on this one. But okay, the next question is, once transaction policies are live in VultiSigner with a 2 of 3 vault support for this exact setup, the trader and the firm both have access to share 1. VultiSigner holds share 2 and only co-signs whitelisted and limited actions. The firm alone holds share 3 as emergency override. So, normal trading requires share 1 plus VultiSigner, strictly rule-bound, of course, while share 1 plus share 3 can fully bypass all rules and modify the VultiSigner policy itself. Is that right?
Well, essentially, that was something, a feature, I would say, what we had back in the days, which was called Active Vaults, which is essentially 2 of the user devices, and 1 would be the device, the server of from our side. But we currently removed that feature because we had a lot of inbounds of confusion when it comes to vault creation, the different vault options, and all of that. So for simplicity, we currently removed the option. And technically, those are possible, but VultiSig is not like a normal, let's say, MPC wallet, where like on an institutional based, where you have different policies, where you have an admin and all of that, where you can override with the admin key or something. So in VultiSig, like all the different devices are at the same hierarchy level, I would say. So, you know, it doesn't matter if like device 1 is admin or device 2, like it doesn't exist in VultiSig, right? So you only need the threshold of devices to sign a transaction, and it doesn't matter in terms of, if a device has less access or more. So all of the devices have the same level of access, I would say, in the apps. So it's not really possible, and it probably won't be possible with like overrides and all of that in the future.
Okay, perfect. And I wanted to just say something real quick. I really appreciate VultiSig selectively preferring swaps with ThorChain in my protocol. Because one thing I think, I say this a lot, but it makes, I say it a lot and I don't hear other people say it that often, but it makes me so happy for you to say it, is that, ThorChain and my protocol are so essential for freedom. And I truly believe this is existential. So I just want to throw you guys some kudos for building it out that my protocol and ThorChain get dibs first, because I just think the first principles are on our side. And that's even more evident by the fact that you're up here talking about this technology, VultiSig, right? I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that if ThorChain did not exist, VultiSig wouldn't exist. And it shows you, like, when you know you're on the first principles is when you develop something like ThorChain or Maya protocol, and then you get all these concurrent additional benefits and technologies that are spun out of that, where you have this wallet, right, that is so secure, that doesn't require a seed phrase. You actually revolutionize and change the game. So just want to give you a shout out, man. And I've talked to you before on live stream. You're a solid individual. And I love VoltiSig. I love what you guys are doing. So well done. But with that said, Kenton, did you have anything you wanted to ask or anything like that? Kenton might be away from the mic. No big deal. But yeah, like I was saying, man, doing great.
No, yeah, like I really, really appreciate these words. But yeah, like I'm, you know, like the whole team is really, I would say, by heart, you know, the on the side of censorship resistance, of like building open source. And I think that's the only way where we can really, yeah, I would say, proceed and you know, just progress as an industry as a whole. Because in general, you know, there's so many grifters, so many different projects who are doing shady stuff in the background. And that's why we really try to, you know, build in public, especially, and build it open source that everyone can see what we're doing, even though maybe we're, you know, we're also humans, we're not perfect. So we also do mistakes. And maybe, you know, sometimes there are a few things which are still not perfect. But that's why we're here, right? We want to build with everyone. We want to build a secure product. We want to build something censorship resistant. So that's why, you know, even though if VoltiSig would go offline, or you know, we as a team would vanish, the product would be still there. Somebody else could pick it up, keep on developing it. Or, you know, we, like, honestly, I personally, since our inception of like 1.5 years ago, which is still very early as a wallet, I would say, I thought about that up until now, probably somebody else would have forked us and you know, spin up a competitor wallet with the same technology. But I don't know, maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but so far I didn't see any competitors in that kind of way, you know, when it really comes to open source MPC wallets with these kind of different, or with these principles, right? So I'm super happy to, especially, you know, come from the Fortune ecosystem with our founder and the whole community, and build something, you know, important for the future. Because I think with VoltiSig and the technology, there's still so much more to do and so much more to be able to build with. For example, right, we're currently also on our last stretches of the VoltiSig SDK. And that essentially will make it super easy for websites, for other wallets and all of that, just to utilize our technology and create a safer space and a safer industry as a whole. And that's our main goal, right? To give access to our technology. And if you can create a better product with our technology, that's great, right?
Yeah. The only other wallet that I sort of know, and, you know, I'm not an expert, but, you know, I know Thor wallet, you can make vaults. But it's not, I think that, you know, that it, I don't know if it's rudimentary or, but I believe you can make separate vault shares like VoltiSig. But I mean, they're developing mostly their, you know, hot wallet side. As far as I know, I might be wrong about that, but that's the only other one. Maybe you have context there.
Yeah, no. Thor Wallet essentially integrated our technology, because yeah, like we were in close contact some time of last year, and they of course also saw the benefits, right, of the VoltiSig technology, and therefore they really integrated like our MPC approach. So that's why we are also compatible in theory. Where you can, you know, just take your VoltiSig vaults or your VoltiSig shares and import them into Thor Wallet, or create multi-sig vault in Thor Wallet and import it in VoltiSig. And that's essentially the synergy we want to create over the whole different, yeah, wallet ecosystem, right? That same as with seed phrases currently, that with the vault shares going forward, different wallets are able to integrate the technology, and then we are interoperable and, you know, are not depending on one wallet itself, but of course, you know, can just utilize and import it where you ever, yeah, wanted to, essentially.
I think you said something very important there, because this is literally the new standard, right? And the market hasn't woken up at all really to it, because they just don't know. It's not because they don't want it. They just simply don't know. But it's really interesting when I think about a lot of the biggest hacks, a lot of the most terrible things that have happened would not have happened if they had used the security posture that is given to them by VoltiSig, right? Bybit and so many other ones. So you guys are really on to there. And I really think you guys are absolutely the pioneers for doing this. It's really, really good. And it's hard, right? Because as a creator like yourself making this wallet, the hard thing about making something that protects people is that you cannot experience or appreciate when people are saved, because you don't know the bad things that don't happen, right? No one can really go on VoltiSig. Well, maybe they could, but not many people on Thinkorswim say VoltiSig saved me, unless one of their vault shares got, you know, taken or something like that. It's hard to appreciate the bad things that you prevent, right? But I think, you know, I haven't seen one person, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't seen one person say anything about, you know, getting rugged on VoltiSig. So I think it's proven, right? Like, proof is in the pudding, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, one good example I would say is myself and JP, you know, the recent months, both of us actually got hacked recently. And, you know, luckily, both of us, we are completely working off like VoltiSig, of course, because we love our wallet, we love the tech, we love using the product. So, you know, with that, attackers got access to our devices and all of that, but essentially they couldn't steal anything, because with VoltiSig there's nothing to steal, because even if they get one share, right, they can look at the balances but not move them without any other vault shares. So that essentially, you know, really makes it crucial in two ways. Like, one, the one thing where users really can or need to have the learning curve with VoltiSig is that each device really has its own backup, and each device needs the backup stored in a different location, right? So essentially, don't store multiple vault shares in one place of the same vault. Of course, if you have multiple vaults, then you can just store them together in one location. That's why we also have like a batch export function. So if you have multiple vaults in VoltiSig, you can just like batch export all of them from one device. But that's really the really important thing about VoltiSig, right? That you learn that you have these vault shares, which are unique to each device, and you store in different locations and never together. But then, you know, you're really safe. For example, that's why JP also has his honeypot up somewhere on GitHub, where he has, I think currently, it should be like around 100K or something like that on the vault, where you know, you could go now and download the one share, but you're still missing the second share. And up until, I think he now has it up and online over a year now, two or three months, and it's still laying there without ever being moved or touched.
I was just gonna say that, man. I was just gonna talk about, that's the ultimate case of comfort in your technology, where you put publicly out there six figures of money and say, hey, if you can take it, it's yours. That is the ultimate sign. So that was pretty baller of him. I love that. I'm going to go ahead and kick it to Kenton. Go ahead, Kenton.
Yeah, I just, I'm curious, pal, if you can give us some ideas, tips on ways to back up our vault shares. So, you know, how do we keep them separate? You know, especially for someone who's, you know, used to using seed phrases, right on the piece of paper, hiding them, whatever. You know, we're so conditioned to like, don't put anything online, don't take a picture of it, don't copy and paste it, just nothing digital, keep it all analog. And now we've got VoltiSig, where it's like, okay, it's all digital, back it up online. You know, get a help me, you know, walk through that. How do we do that properly?
Yeah, I mean, that's really one thing what like a lot of people say, yeah, no, I don't trust it because you can store it online, right? That's actually one thing where we lose a few users already from the get-go, because they say, no, I can't be secure. And then, of course, you know, they don't investigate further in the technology itself. I think it's probably a bit similar to Bitcoin, you know. One day down the road, you will understand it, and then you see the benefit of it, right? But apart from that, you know, essentially it's only very crucial that you store it in a place where you know you can access the vault shares if you need them to, and they are not connected, right? So, for example, I personally store, like, I have a 2 of 3 vault, for example, where I have three different unique backups. I store one in my Google Drive, I store one in my iCloud, and I store another one with my wife, right? And she stores it in her iCloud, for example. And with that, all different clouds have different passwords. That's, of course, you know, the main point. You can't store them in locations where the access code is the same. But essentially, you don't have any limitations to storing the backups in a specific way or a specific location. So you also can, for example, for my another vault, I store one share on a USB, for example, right? Or because I also have like a family vault with my wife, and so therefore we have, you know, she has one device, I have one device. And we store, like, for example, one of those shares I sent to my family, to my mother, right? So it's essentially just sitting on a WhatsApp server. But I know, you know, the chat highly likely won't get deleted because it's a big entity, and I can recover it from there. And even though if somebody would get access to my mother's WhatsApp or to my WhatsApp, it wouldn't really matter because the other vault shares are in different locations. The one like really crucial thing is what I think a lot of people are doing is you having, for example, one device like an iPhone or a MacBook or you know, your Android or whatever, which is connected to different clouds, right? Let's say you connected your G Drive there, you connected maybe your OneDrive or I don't know, your Proton Drive or you name it, right? The different clouds there or password managers or whatever. And essentially when somebody would get access to that one device where all the different locations are connected, then of course you could be at risk of losing the your funds if the attacker then gets access to the one device. But that's, I think, quite easy to achieve, where you can just separate them and maybe, you know, you can create a free like account for iCloud, for example, a new one, and just store your vault shares there, or, you know, separate them in a password manager. So essentially the possibilities are endless here. It's just depending on each unique users where they are comfortable storing the assets or the vault backups, because sometimes, you know, it's also some people don't trust big entities, you know, like Apple, Google, or whatever, and they prefer to store it on their own infrastructure, on their USBs, or just share it with some kind of family office or in the family or whatever, right? So that's the good thing in comparison to seed phrases, right? Vault shares are super versatile and can be stored everywhere, essentially. I mean, you could also technically print it out. I wouldn't really recommend that, just because it's like a lot of gibberish encrypted characters. But technically, you could also really, you know, punch it again on a metal plate if you really like it. But then, of course, it would be counterproductive, I would say. But yeah, getting back to the point, I would say it's really up to the user itself. And the only important thing is that the different locations are not like interconnected with the same password or with the same device.
So maybe instead of printing on paper, you could actually download it to a USB stick and then save your USB stick somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's like how I do it with one of my shares. I have it on a USB stick, and or maybe, yeah, I mean, I actually have multiple USB sticks. But, you know, that's just like another, let's say, backup layer, because you can essentially also duplicate the vault shares and store them in multiple different locations, even though, you know, maybe when your USB stick would fail, you still would have it in another, maybe more secure location or whatever, right?
So I'm curious. So if I've got VaultySig, I have it on, say I have a 2 of 2, got on my phone and my computer, the vault share on my phone, I would have to upload right from my phone to iCloud or the Google Cloud, right? Like I can't, if I email it to myself on my computer, as soon as it touches my computer and then it kind of mingles with my other share on my computer, then it's bad, right? Or would that be okay? Like
I mean technically, you know, as long as you're sure that after moving it or whatever, you know, it's deleted on the device where it has access to multiple locations, so to say, then you're fine, right? That's also, for example, where how our app store works, right? Essentially, how our app store and the apps installation, maybe to give it or do a quick detour on that, works is we are like the user has a two of two, and essentially what they're doing is inviting two more servers to the same vault and sharing those two entities, you know, access to the vault, and afterwards it gets deleted. You know, when you delete it on the app on the App Store, then also these shares permanently get deleted, and then it doesn't matter if the share existed in a place before or you moved it over first to your laptop and had it in your email and then moved it to a location where it doesn't have interconnection again. Just you as a entity need to make sure that it's really deleted and not existing or keep existing anywhere, and then you're fine with moving it or whatever. Of course, if in the moment you have it on your laptop where you have two devices, and then in that exact moment you get hacked, of course you could run the risk of losing funds, but the possibilities of that happening while you do it is quite low, I would say. And you can make sure that, for example, you're not connected to the internet while after you receive the email and move the things where you need it and all of that. But yeah, like you can make sure that everything is secure and you can move it in different location, I would say. I'm not sure if that really answered your question, but yeah.
No, it's good. It's just something we all just have to get used to, right? It was like seed phrases in the beginning. We all had to kind of get comfortable, used to using them. And it's going to be the same with the vault shares. We just gonna have to just get comfortable, used to using them. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, to be honest, what like really helped me getting comfortable with VaultSig at the start, when I joined the project and we started really developing everything, is importing and exporting the shares and deleting the shares, especially with just test vaults, because then you really see how the technology works, how easy it is to, let's say, quote unquote, lose a device, get a new device, import it there and just like respawn. And that really improves the confidence in the technology itself when you try to uninstall and import different shares again, and instead of just keeping it and using it. So I would really suggest everyone using VaultSig, just create a test vault and try the import and export a few times to just get really comfortable with how it works.
Nice, for sure. Patriot, did you want to keep going?
Yeah, I do have a question from someone who asked in the audience. I think it's Sonia. They're wondering, and I don't know the answer to this, and since JP and you are closely aligned with Thorchain, is there any possibility of Vault rune pool going on Thorchain?
Good question. We thought about it, initially before we launched the token, if we launched directly on Rojira, but yeah, because of the whole structure we had in mind before and all of that, we didn't do it. And I think it's probably a possibility definitely in the future, but so far we're not really moving in that direction, just because we are focused mainly on App Store currently and just improving the products as a whole. But yeah, definitely. And also, speaking of Thorchain, one thing I also really wanted to get in the app very soon is limit swaps. I know, since I you guys probably know it better, I think a few weeks now it's available, and something I really, really like about Thorchain now with the limit swap. So I really want to get that in the apps itself, but it's probably still out a few months, but definitely will come as soon as possible.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I love it. I mean, you guys are staying ahead of it, and that's what I love. A lot of the interfaces, a lot of amazing developer teams. Whenever something new happens on Thorchain, you guys are on it and you push it. And I think that's fantastic. Yeah, my hour did come up and did go. I do have to get going. And sorry, guys, this will be temporary. It's just holiday season. I got a lot of things going on. So thank you, Kenton, for staying longer. And thank you guys in VoltiSig and Pal. You guys are, you're wonderful, man. I love your team over there. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And I hope you have a good holiday season. If I don't talk to you again, a good Christmas or whatever you celebrate. Always a pleasure interacting with you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it a lot, especially with you being more up on 4chain spaces since a few months. I really, really appreciate and really enjoy interacting and listening more about 4chain.
I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure. Kenton, you have a great rest of your day. And everyone else, take care. Bye, TC intern. I appreciate it, guys. Everyone have a good one. Bye now.
Thanks, Patriot. Guys, anyone listening, you want to come up and ask questions, please request. I feel naked here with Patriot by my side. I need some help. Pal, I got another question for you. I use MetaMask, right? I'm used to using it. I can go connect MetaMask to Uniswap and all these different DeFi platforms. I'm worried about switching over to VaultySig. Will I be able to connect VaultySig to all those same websites that I like to use?
Yeah, I would say we're now with the extension in a real good spot where we support most, like EVM based. I would say we support probably 90%. Of course, you know, sometimes there are a few integrations or a few dApps who do things a bit uniquely, so that's where, you know, we then need to help a bit and support these methods or these functions. But I would say the vast majority of dApps we are now supporting on EVM, and you know, we're step by step rolling out support of multi-chain dApp support, like recently, you know, with Solana, Tron, and Ton, and all of those will be coming, and of course, you know, like then also Cosmos and all of that. We're like pushing constantly on that end to essentially, you know, have an extension which works in DeFi and all the different dApps on all the chains we're supporting.
Nice. So how does it work? Do you have to reach out to those dApps and say, hey, we want to be able to connect your wallet, or can you do it permissionlessly? Like just
we can do it permissionlessly, just because the issue is, right, there's such a vast amount of dApps out there, and we as like we're just such a small team, so we don't really know which dApps are used by our, you know, by the Vulti squad, by our users, and which ones are working and which are not, because, you know, we just can't cover all of them. So that's why normally the route is, you know, if we have a VoltiSig user, or if, you know, anyone listening is having like their favorite dApp is not working with VoltiSig, then please just reach out in the Discord, and, you know, then we can check ourselves. And, you know, we're quite close with everyone in the community, right? If something like for our user is not working, then we try to, you know, even if it's just one person, we try to accommodate it and just improve it, right? So for example, recently we also added Say EVM chain, because not really, because there's a lot of, I don't know, like personally I don't use it, but maybe there are a lot of users on it. But we had one member of the Vulti squad by mistake sending assets to that chain, and we made sure to add this chain to, you know, have him unlocked and get access to his funds again. But that's also the same with the extension, right? If something is not working, or some your favorite dApp is not possible to interact with the extension, then just reach out and we will make it possible.
Cool. I brought up a couple of people. Interchain, you want to check your mic? You got a question?
Hello.
Yep, can hear you.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to give Pau a big shout out, because I've been using the wallet now for quite some time, and like the support and in the Discord and everything is always extremely good, really. Like Pau, sometimes he helped me in the support ticket himself personally, and they develop fast, like, and then the app is changing and you do an update and then maybe something doesn't quite work like it used.
You cut out for me. Did he cut out for anyone else? Can you hear Pau?
I think he cut out for me too. But yeah, like, I really, really appreciate it, Interchain. And, you know, that's something, because Voltisig is, I love, you know, the community. I love building the product. So that's why I'm trying to be everywhere and accommodate everyone. And that's also something, I think, what he just mentioned on like the last seconds before he cut out. We're trying to move as fast as possible. And sometimes some things maybe will not work, not perfectly. But we're a small and agile dev team, right? So we will shift and fix everything like ASAP and quickly, so that we can improve as quickly as possible, and just proceed as quickly as possible. Because essentially what we're doing currently, we're sprinting to catch up with all the different wallets, because the wallet space is so big and has so many you know, features now, and there are so many established players. And when you're a wallet with, let's say, just mediocre feature support or mediocre chain support, then you're not really, you know, a consideration for many users to gain more users, a bigger user base. So that's where, like, we really try to sprint currently to get all the different features in, what are needed, what users want to, and support all the different chains that we're a good cross-chain wallet, which everyone likes to use.
Nice, right on. Interchain, it looks like he dropped. If he comes back, I'll request to speak. I'll let you back up. Aftermath, you brought you up to speak.
Hey, GM, guys, good to hear your voice, pal. I believe that this VoltiSig that's going to abstract all the needless seed phrase bullshit, like you were saying, Kenton, with the papers and the cameras and all that. I think that's the secret sauce. I've been agnostic. I've been trying to learn everything and see where I could provide value. And I think a perspective-based marketing attack is my interest. And I'm just going to try to figure out how best I could serve the ThorChain ecosystem. But it seems to me, from a layman's point of view, from their perspective, having the Vault shares and not having to dick with all these other fears and I'm going to blow this or I'm going to lose that or all the other factors to people having fear for losing their seed phrases can be abstracted with VoltiSig. And thank you for your efforts and thanks for having me up. I'm going to continue to guess where I could provide value, and welcome to take suggestions as to that as well. Thanks for having me up, Kenton.
Awesome. Really, really appreciate the input. And yeah, feel free to always shoot me a DM if you have like any ideas or want to, you know, just start something in terms of, whatever. I'm always happy for input, for collaborations and everything. But yeah, I think in terms of the seed phrases and all of that, I think we still have a way to go to abstract it more and make it easier for storage and understanding, I would say. So we're still on the back ends iterating, especially on the onboarding in terms of displaying how to store Vault shares best, how to abstract the Vault share and the security aspect and just the general interaction with the backups. So yeah, we're not done on that end. So we will be keeping like the iteration and all of that going until we're super happy and everyone in the community is happy with it. But I see Interchain is also back up.
Oh, is he? I keep approving him, but I don't. Oh, there he is. Go ahead, Interchain.
Boy, I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now. Yep.
Yep.
I don't know. My Wi-Fi always disconnected as soon as you accepted me as a speaker. Now I'm just on the regular phone. I don't know what you heard when I cut out, but I just wanted to add quickly a thank you, because I joined the airdrop in season 0, and then for the whole season 1, I didn't check it once, nothing. And now I think now it's season 2, right? But everything is registered and nothing like I didn't have to do nothing. So yeah, I just want to say thank you for this.
No worries, always. Like that's one thing we try, right? To be close with our community and just make it as easy as possible. And of course, sometimes some things have rough edges or not perfect, but that's why we build in public, right? Everyone can just raise their voice and we can improve it all together.
Right on. Paul, Patriot texted me another question from someone in the audience. When will VaultySig add in Maya protocol, Kakao, for the mobile version of the iOS Android wallet?
Oh, good question. So actually, since the last release, I think, was it yesterday or the day before, we added the Kakao or Maya protocol section in on iOS. So on iOS, it's already available. You can, you know, bond and LP, and no, LP will come with the next release, but add to the Kakao pool on iOS already. And yeah, on Android, it will take until the next release or the release after, because we're like, iOS is always, I would say, the fastest when it comes to features, and Android and Windows and extension are always trying to play the catch-up game a bit. But yeah, essentially you can already edit on the DeFi tab on iOS, and Android and extension and Windows will come respectively in the next 1-2 weeks.
Excellent. Thank you. Again, I'll put out to the audience, if you guys want to come up, if you have any questions or just a comment for Pal, it'd be great. You guys are welcome. If you have requested, I apologize. I'm not seeing anyone. So just how it goes with spaces. Pal, is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't? Something you want to bring up?
Let me think. I mean, there's always a lot to talk about, but I think currently, yeah, like I'm personally, you know, just super, super down in building mode and just trying to improve the apps in general, make it more stable. We, like, I don't know, maybe a few users recently have seen it. We had a few issues with our RPC providers, and currently just improving the general infrastructure there, that we, you know, have just flawless, yeah, broadcasting and all of that in the future. And of course, you know, that's one thing I really love about VaultySig, is it's, you know, a wallet where I personally try to take as much input as possible from all the users, and, you know, just try to improve it together with the whole community. And so yeah, that's why I really love, you know, building VaultySig in public. And before joining VaultySig, to be honest, I was always thinking it's probably quite stressful to build in public, but I really like it because, you know, you get direct feedback. The feedback loop is there from the community, and it really helps to create a, I would say, an honest and great product. And yeah, because you always have, you know, the constant feedback loop without any interruptions. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's me too. That's how I have to force myself to look at it. You know, our egos don't like criticism or people, you know, jumping down your throat. But if you take that out of it, you think, well, this is actually instant feedback. This is like, it's good to find this out now rather than 3 months from now, right? And
yeah. I don't know if you know the book Ego is Your Enemy, but that's really one book I enjoyed reading, and what helped me, you know, being like, I would say, the best person possible, or just, you know, constantly improve. And the ego, essentially, right, is the only thing in us humans who really creates barriers and friction points. And of course, like, let's say a healthy level of ego is important, I would say, but, you know, if you go over a certain threshold, then it just gets friction and introduces issues and problems, I would say. So building in public really, really helps to reflect on that. And that also, like, on a personal level, really helped me the last 1.5 years with VaultySig, you know, to just grow as a person and grow as a project. And I think that's also why personally think ThorChain is, you know, so getting better every day. Of course, you know, like, we maybe don't have, like, at the moment the best executions as like other competitors who, you know, have different approaches, but that, you know, is possible to improve, and the devs are currently improving with you know, the feedback loop of building in public.
Absolutely. What was the book called again?
The Ego is Your Enemy.
Okay. I totally agree with everything you said, especially a little bit of ego is good. Like I totally agree with that, because I think it's what helps propel us forward, right? Because if we just constantly stayed in this state of you know, I am what I am, like I would never change. You would never change, right? We kind of have to believe we can be something different and something else, and it helps guide us in that direction to eventually become it, right? But it's finding that balance between too much and too little. So yeah, really well said, man. I really agree. And that was one of the things, like, actually that got me into Thorchain. I mean, really following the Discord a few years ago was like, it was super interesting, because it felt like just everyone talking first principles with each other, like actually just, you know, going over each other's arguments, instead of like, there was no ad hominem, no one was really attacking each other. It was, you know, everyone trying to grind down to the truth, basically what makes the most sense. And it was super, it's very stimulating to see a group of people, especially strangers on the internet, all coming together and talking, like trying to solve this problem with, like, you know, like without name calling, with, you know, trying to remove their feelings out of it and stuff like that. Like it's pretty cool. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was also really what like got me interested in Thorchain back in the days, was, you know, just seeing that the discussions on the dev Discord and being on the other Discords and you know, just having that open discussion. And I think that's also why the whole Thorchain community is so, I would say, if you compare it to other Web3 communities, you know, mature and really, you know, always tries to find a solution instead of, you know, just name calling or whatever. And of course, you know, like everyone in like we were all humans and nobody is perfect. But the good thing is, right, we're like, you know, always trying to strive for the best and in like with a good ethos in mind, right? So that's where I think the Thorchain community is really, really good at, you know, finding solutions and improving on it. And maybe if it's not like the fastest, because of course there's always a lot of input and sometimes there's a lot of noise. But with that, I think, you know, without the muted discussions, that's like where really we can find always the best solution and the best, yeah, the best way forward, right?
Yep, totally. Anybody else, audience, you guys want to come up? You have a comment, question? Aftermath, you raise your hand. You want to add something?
Hey, Killer. Yeah, I was going to say, if you want me to mess with the invites and stuff, make me a co-host and I'll speak less. But I just wanted to throw out there, it seems high time to not undervalue this feedback loop, and perhaps we could level it up via and marry it with educational outreach and partner integrated user outreach and polling, and solicit the input and make people believe that they can realize the reality that this damn elite developer team doing DeFi actually cares and is actually decentralized. I think that's what we should lead with. That should be the tip of the spear. Just a thought.
Yeah, for sure. I brought up Bio. Are you there, buddy? Is your speaker work?
Hey, guys. Ander, thank you so much for letting me come up. But I think I'm about to pass to through a zone where I'm going to lose my connection. So if I could jump in 2 minutes, we'll be perfect.
Okay. Well, pal, yeah, anything else, man? Should we start wrapping this up? Or you got some more?
Not really. I also, like, in a few minutes need to jump. So, yeah, if I don't know if there's not many more questions, then yeah, I'm also happy to have a wrap up soonish. So yeah.
Bio, you got your hand raised. Did you want to go before we end it?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thanks. Just want to give a shout out to all the Vulti 6 squad and the Thor Shane. And I wanted to leave a question that has been something that is coming close to me from friends and from other close friends that I'm helping to use Vulti 6, which is, do you think that connecting too much the Vulti 6 brand with Thor Shane will lead for people to confuse Vulti 6 with Thor Wallet and all of the different differentiated brands that come from Thor Shane?
I think, you know, given that we have quite a different name and different branding in general, I don't see the big issue with commingling specifically ThorChain and the whole ThorChain ecosystem. And yeah, we normally, you know, try to be a bit more neutral, but of course, like, by heart, we're big ThorChats. But generally, you know, just to reach out to more users and all of that, we try to be a bit more neutral. And I think with the whole branding and all of that, I think we're not too associated with ThorChain itself. But you know, if you start looking a bit when it comes, you know, to the routing quotes and like the technology we're using and all of that, we're like quite close to ThorChain. But like on a branding level, I think we shouldn't be that close. But yeah, happy to get more input if you got like any, you know, anything from like your people, your friends.
For what it's worth, pal, no one, I've had lots of people reach out to me about branding and different platforms and stuff, and Vulti 6 has never come up. So no one's ever mentioned it to me that isn't.
Yeah, I mean, just because I think mainly because most of the naming is quite similar with Thor on quite a few projects, so I can understand the confusions there. But I guess, yeah, with Vulti 6, it should be quite clear, I guess.
Bio, are you done? Did you have anything else you want to add? Because you're our last speaker. We're going to start wrapping it up here, so I'll let you finish.
Looks good. Looks satisfied. Yeah.
Okay, he went back to listener. I mean, we lost him. All right, pal. Well, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it. This is great. You know, hopefully we do this again in a few months, right? You'll have another update for us.
Yeah, always appreciate coming on the spaces and you know, giving an update and just chatting with you guys about ThorChain and all of that. So
yeah. Always welcome. And if there's something going on with Vulti 6, you specifically want to like try and get the message out, like reach out to us too. You know, we're always we're looking for content, right? We're looking for people to come on the do the spaces with us. So and same guys to you listening, you know, if you want, if there's any project out there that you like, you think would be great for us to talk to, interview, especially new ones, and new communities, you know, you think that we might be aligned and there's something we can do to work together. Yeah, let us know or help us set it up. Next week, we've got Thor Wallet coming on. So nice to hear from them. I reached out to them about the branding stuff. I was just like, you know, this doesn't have to be confrontational, guys. You know, we can just, let's just talk, right? And so I did. I chatted with CryptoXZ. We had a good chat for like an hour. And he's got a pretty good take on it, pretty interesting take on the branding. So we can talk about that, hear from him, and more stuff going on with Thor Wallet. And then that's it. We don't have anything planned after that. So kind of need some help, guys, coming up with some more guests. We TC intern has reached out to a bunch of the different platforms of integrated ThorChain to see if they want to talk. So hopefully we hear back from them or we come up with some more ideas. But thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.